Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are very into music videos, if I do say so myself.
Wow, welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
Jonah, welcome to this special episode of How Did We Get Weird, Jonah.
Thank you, Vanessa. Vanessa, I think you said my name twice, so I was kind of like, okay.
For effect.
Got it. Yes, so this is a special episode. So usually when we do a special episode, it's about a holiday or a season. Or a
movie.
Special, yes, or a movie. And this one's a little different, don't you think?
I would say so. This one is about, we're going to go through some of our favorite, all-time favorite music videos from the 80s and 90s, which I got to say this, okay? When we were growing up, Jonah and I watched so much MTV that our parents constantly threatened to cancel it. And that was definitely probably not something you could do. Like, I don't think you could call your cable providers, because remember, especially like in the 80s and 90s, cable, there weren't, you know, it wasn't as involved as it is even now.
Right.
And our parents kept being like, we're going to call and we're going to tell them to not give us MTV anymore, which it's like, I think even as kids, we knew that that wasn't really possible, but that was the threat.
Yeah, I actually don't really remember that. But yeah, I think they were more like package deals, like you couldn't cancel probably an individual channel.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But it was something our parents made up.
But yeah, why did they want to cancel it? Because we watched
it too much? Because we spent hours watching music videos. I also think that they thought a lot of the music videos that we watched were a little too adult for us. And watching back some of them, I can see their point. But at the same time, it's just funny when you're a kid, so much stuff does go over your head. Let's get into our trio of videos,
sure.
Which, Jonah, this was your pick.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about doing this episode for a while, and the first thing that came to mind was the Guns N' Roses trilogy. I mean, how could it not be? 91 to 93, Don't Cry, November Rain, and Estranged. And just to put this in a little context, our mom took me to see Guns N' Roses during this era. So this is like really, like one of my formative concert experiences. And so Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 came out in 1991, September 91. This is, it's like so crazy to say for people who are up on music now. So these albums came out in 91, but they kept getting pushed back. And so I went to go see them on this tour. So it was Skid Row open. They were on the Slave to the Grind tour. Guns N' Roses at Richfield Coliseum in Cleveland, 1991, on the Use Your Illusion tour. But they had pushed back the albums, so the albums weren't even out when this concert, when their tour started, when this concert happened. Did you know? Did you know that?
Wow, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. So, like most bands, I guess if it happened now, like you would just push the tour back. But I think Guns N' Roses was just so big then, they were like, well, the albums are pushed back. And these were very elaborate, long albums. So they just did the tour anyway. So it was interesting. They had like all the stage setups, all the artwork. I got a Use Your Illusion 2 t-shirt, all this stuff.
I remember it was purple and blue.
Yes, but they didn't. And I left it at travel camp somewhere, which I was so bummed about.
Ugh, we got to get you a new one.
But they, no one had the record. So I think people had heard some of the singles, you know, like some of these songs or Civil War. But the actual albums were not out during their arena tour promoting these albums.
But were the music were these music videos that we're about to talk about out?
I think some of them were out. But these videos came out between 91 and 93. The show I saw was in 91. And I think they rolled the albums out over. So I don't think, I think maybe one of the songs was, maybe Don't Cry was out. Maybe You Could Be Mine, because that was on the Terminator 2 Judgment Night soundtrack. Maybe that was out. But a lot of these, a lot of these songs were not released, but they were still in their set and they were playing them. And I feel like that's something very strange that would just not happen now.
Yes, totally. So you're a kid, you're going to this concert, and I want to elaborate for a second on what you wore. But
yeah,
you're going to this concert, you know Paradise City and Welcome to the Jungle and stuff, because those are from
Appetite for Destruction. I know Appetite for Destruction front and back.
Yeah. Okay. And I just want to say to our listeners who haven't heard us tell this story, I believe, Jonah, what you wore to the concert was a Guns N' Roses t-shirt you had that says Guns N' Roses was here on the back. And I used to get mad about it because I used to say it should say Guns N' Roses were here. But it depends if you want to say the band is singular, the roses are plural. So it's kind of, I think technically the grammar of the t-shirt was correct, but I remember going through this with Dad and you and like getting in fights with you guys about it.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you were a very cool kid.
Sounds like a cool kid. Because probably was pretty young when I was having that fight. It just, something didn't fly with the way that sounded grammatically to me. But then, Jonah, do you want to tell the story of the jeans you wore?
Yeah, so I got the t-shirt. I got the perfect bandana, I think like light blue. And then I had
these, I forgot about the bandana.
Levi's, like very faded Levi's, like almost white. That's how light the denim was. And they had all these holes in them. And I'm getting ready for the show. I've been like planning this outfit for months. And
how old are you, would you say?
12. I'm 12 and 91, I think. 12 or 13. I think I'm 12, though.
I think you're 12.
And I used to get bloody noses a lot as a kid. and I got this bloody nose and I thought, okay, I got this bloody nose. What could be more tough than bleeding all over my jeans? And so I put, this like sounds kind of made up, but I've told the story so many times that I can't believe it happened, but yeah, I put my nose over the jeans and I got just dried blood. I got blood all over the jeans from my nose, and then I kind of let the blood kind of dry and then I wore them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember you thought, I'm sure you thought you looked really cool. I remember mom got the tickets from this like,
she got them through the newspaper from like a kind of like a proto like StubHub ticket scalper.
StubHub guy. And I remember mom saying that she, on the other side of her was this guy who was telling her, like, he said something to her about Guns N' Roses, like, these guys do so many drugs or something.
Yeah, and so I remember, we got to the show. Yeah. I mean, my memories are a little hazy. I mean, you were very young. You were probably like 10.
Yeah.
But it's just me and mom, we drove there. And then so we had pretty good seats, I think, but you had to stand on the seat the whole time.
Right.
Like the show starts and you're just standing on your seat, which is like so uncomfortable. Right. I mean, as a kid, it was like exciting, but also like as a kid, like I was really small. So like I couldn't really see that well.
I bet people thought you were so cute who were in the audience.
Probably. So Skid Row opened and I'm like, I don't remember that much about the set. I remember.
Did they do 18 in Life?
Yeah, I'm sure they did all the hits. Skid Row was like, Sebastian Bach was really laying into Vanilla Ice, like making a lot of jokes about Vanilla Ice. And I also remember that Sebastian Bach was swearing so much, like every other word out of his mouth was a swear word. And I had this moment, this epiphany where I was like, I didn't realize you could talk like this. Like I'd heard these words before, like in music and movies, but I was like, I didn't know, like, I was like, I didn't know you could use them so much. Like it kind of like blew my mind in a way because I had never heard that before.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really crazy. And I'm sure that was really, Yeah, of course. You had never heard someone talk like that before. And you're told your whole childhood you're not allowed to swear. So I'm sure hearing someone use it every other word was incredible.
Like, yeah, and it wasn't, you know, he's not using it in like a negative way, in like an angry way. He's using it to like rile up the crowd, like get, you know, like
everybody in your fucking seats, get fucking ready to fucking rock or something like that.
Well, you know, his big thing was everybody saying Ice Ice Baby, fuck off. And I will never forget that. And the whole crowd singing at me being like, oh my God, this is so nuts.
That's really cute.
Yeah, so that happened. Then Guns N' Roses went on. You know, I'm assuming that, you know, their thing, you know, it has always been like they go on very late, like they go on 2 hours throughout the. So I don't remember. I mean, I know we didn't stay for the whole set, but I do remember watching them play. Axl Rose had like a Nine Inch Nails shirt on. I remember, like we watched a bunch of the songs, and then I remember we left. But it was, you know, I have to say, you know, so cool of our mom to take me to that show.
Yes.
I've written about it a lot in an article for Gibson's website, and just like an incredibly formative experience for me.
Yes.
You know, it's just so cool to see a band like that during that era. I mean, it's like, me and you have seen Guns N' Roses since.
Yeah, but not during that era.
In different incarnations, and now they are back with Slash and Duff. But seeing like that, like Illusion lineup in 91 as a 12-year-old kid, like one of the coolest memories of my childhood for sure.
That's so nice. And I remember reading that Gibson article, which is framed in our parents' guest room.
Yes.
At the, I think the last thing you say in it is, thanks, Mom. And it always makes me tear up when I look at it.
Yeah.
It's really sweet. And I think throughout our conversation today, talking about this trio of videos, we can talk about some of the experiences we've had since then, going to see them. And Jonah, you've since met Slash and stuff, which is really cool. But just to go back to that time, I want to say something that you were also doing around that time is you did, I was just thinking about this, you did a Slash impression as a kid. Do you remember that?
A Slash impression? I don't really remember that.
Yeah, you used to sing like him. You could sing like him because he had two singing voices. Still had, if you...
I think you mean Axl.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, did I say Slash?
Yeah.
You did an Axl impression. I'm so sorry. You did an Axl impression. I mean, I guess you've been doing a Slash impression kind of your whole life, where you just kind of play guitar and you kind of look at the ground. JK, LOL. But you but you did an Axl impression because Axl has two voices. Do you remember doing that?
Not really, but it sounds very likely. Yeah.
Because Axl would sometimes be singing in more of a like melodic way. And sometimes he'd be kind of just like giving out the words like in kind of a tougher, rougher way. And you could do both. So you would sing. This was sort of one of the biggest performances you would give, because you weren't like a, you weren't like always on like I was performing for everybody, but you would do the like Axl singing thing into the like Axl kind of like talking singing thing.
I would this like hanging around the house.
Yeah. Okay. You would be like, it would be like, Jonah, do Axl. And you'd be like, and don't you cry, baby. Like, you'd go into both voices. I think I just did a really bad job. But, like, you would do that all the time. You did an Axl impression, yeah. I'm surprised you don't remember that. It was pretty good.
Sounds very good. I mean, your impression of me doing it is very impressive, so
that's
I can only imagine.
That's so nice, Jonah. Now, the videos that we're going to... There's so many Guns N' Roses videos to talk about, but the videos that we're going to talk about today that we referenced earlier is this trio of videos that I did not know were a trio. I thought they were all standalone videos. And some, the first two I'm much more familiar with than the third one.
Okay. Well, they're released over kind of a long period of time, and it's unclear, you know, if thematically exactly how they're connected, but I think they're considered a trio because they're all from this album, and not, and there were other videos, I believe, from this album, but they all had these super high budgets, were all kind of very elaborate videos. And I feel like they're kind of looked back as kind of like exemplifying this kind of excess of like the music video era that was never really captured again. I guess this is kind of like the peak.
So, and also the other thing, I was just watching them. They all have the same kind of handwriting at the beginning and end of them that kind of links them. So we're talking about...
I think that's Axl Rose's handwriting.
Oh, he's got very nice handwriting.
I believe
very
so.
Artistic handwriting. What we're talking about is the Guns N' Roses video trilogy from 1991 to 1993 that included Don't Cry, November Rain, and Estranged. Something I just want to say about Don't Cry and November Rain is they both feature Stephanie Seymour, who Axl was married to for like, I think they dated, obviously they dated for a little while, but they were married for an incredibly short amount of time. I think they were married for, I remember us talking about it as kids, about how long they were married for. It's like a few months maybe.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but I know she does appear in the videos.
But I remember what I was thinking of when I was watching these videos. First of all, she's so pretty. And I remember when I was a kid, we used to get a lot of catalogs, and we used to get the Victoria's Secret catalog. And I remember I was so into it because I was so into the clothes in it. Because like people think of Victoria's Secret as like underwear, but the catalogs had a lot of like clothes that you could, in my mind, wear to work as an adult. So I remember one time in particular, we got a Victoria's Secret catalog and I circled so many outfits that I wanted to get. There were a lot of like kind of sweater dresses. And also when you're a kid, you just think that all, at least to me as a kid, I thought all adults kind of have the same body. So in my mind, I was like, this would look like when I'm an adult, this will look the same on me as it looks on these models because adults have just like adult bodies. So anyways, I remember going through and there were like these sweater dresses and there were a lot of skirts and tops that I was like, this is incredible. And I remember it was probably like 1992 or something. And I remember being so sad because I was like, I'm not going to be an adult for like 15 to 20 more years. And I hope they're still selling this stuff. Like I remember being like, I don't know if I should like hold on to this and just like, I wonder how many years they'll sell this for. But I remember I had created a whole narrative in my mind that I was like, if I'm a lawyer or if I'm like a doctor or I'm some kind of businesswoman, these outfits will be the perfect outfit for me to get. And I remember being like, should I get the outfits now in case they're not still selling them? But I don't know exactly what size I'll be when I'm an adult.
Right, right.
But I was so into the Victoria's Secret clothes. It kind of was similar to Express. It was just sort of very feminine and kind of like tight clothes. But in my mind, I was like, this is what a businesswoman wears. And I don't know if I need to get it now, but I hope this is still around in 20 years. Okay, I've gone on a tangent about that long enough. But Stephanie Seymour was always in those Victoria's Secret catalogs. And I was always like, she looks ready to go to trial.
Yeah, yeah, I think outfits. That's true. I think that's fair.
So should we start with Don't Cry?
Yeah.
A music video that I realize in retrospect kind of traumatized me.
Really? Why did it traumatize you?
It didn't traumatize me. That was too dramatic. But I really got upset in one moment in it. Do you know what moment that is?
No.
The moment when Slash does a murder suicide.
Oh, when he drives a car off the cliff?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I forgot about that part.
That was always really upsetting to me. I'm like, his girlfriend is yelling at him. So he's just like, I guess I'll just drive off this cliff.
Yeah, he drives off the cliff.
And then the car explodes.
And then he like rips a guitar solo right after.
Yeah, somehow he survived.
Yeah.
Let's just go through this video. So it starts with a lot of kind of odd things happen. It starts with Axl's kind of walking in the snow with a gun.
Yep.
And then he like kind of comes inside and Stephanie Seymour is in the house. And they get in a fight with the gun. Like, I think they're fighting over the gun. And then it's sort of like they're fine. They go to a picnic. They're having a picnic in a graveyard. Okay. Yeah.
And then they cut to the band performing. And so this is interesting. Like,
yeah,
if you studied this stuff a lot, like I have, and I listened to, actually, there's a Guns N' Roses podcast called Appetite for Distortion I listen to sometimes, and they get very deep into GNR. But interesting thing about this, they're playing on top of this building. They're with Shannon Hoon from Blind Melon. He's also singing with them, who would pass away, I think, soon after this.
Right.
They have a sign up there that says, "Where's Izzy?" Because Izzy Stradlin had like sort of like left the band and like they didn't really. And I think there might be like a milk carton with them or something.
There's
like
a sign at the end, too, that says that.
Yeah. Like there's all these "Where's Izzy" signs because Izzy Stradlin kind of like disappeared and hasn't really been back. I think he's played a few shows with them, but didn't, you know, never really rejoin the band.
He just left the band?
Yeah, yeah, he left around this era. I think after the albums were recorded, but while these videos are being made. And then another interesting thing about Don't Cry itself, the song, is that this is on User Illusion 1 and 2 with different lyrics.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, there's a version. I think this is probably, whatever I say is going to be wrong. I think this is a version from 2, but I can't remember off the top of my head. I think the version from 1 is like, wasn't really released as a single, but the choruses are the same, but there's just different lyrics. But that's just like another just weird Guns N' Roses thing that like only they could sort of do.
Okay.
But yeah, so they're playing on the rooftop and with Shannon Hoon, and then they get... Yeah.
Stephanie Seymour's looking at a photo of Axl, and then the photo can move. It's sort of like one of those like electronic picture frames.
Current day moving photos.
Moving
like
photos.
Like a video. You mean like a video?
It's like a video it's like she's looking at a little iPad, but it's set up like it's a photo. It looks like she's looking at a photo, and in the photo she can see that Axel's kind of flirting with this blonde woman at a bar. Maybe they're sitting at a piano or something.
Right.
And she's like not happy about it. So she goes to the bar and she immediately starts like having a physical altercation with this other girl. And she like throws her onto the ground and she's like punching her and stuff because she was talking to Axel. Not like the most feminist forward video, but none of these are. That wasn't huge at the time. So she gets in this huge fight with this woman. And then it cuts to Slash, who's in the car with this woman. They're driving around this high area of elevation and she's yelling at him. And then he just like throws his cigarette out the window and drives off a cliff.
Yeah. And then it pans up to him and he's wearing leather pants and shirt off.
And he's wearing leather pants. He's
solo with a Les Paul. And then he throws the Les Paul off the side of the cliff when he's done.
Okay. To me, this part was always really upsetting. Truly, as a kid, I was like, it's so upsetting that he basically killed this girl. He killed himself too, except he comes back to life and is playing a sick guitar solo. And she has no say in the matter. That is the most upsetting part to me of maybe all three of these videos.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair.
Okay. So then you've got Axl's in a hospital room or some kind of really sort of sterile looking room, and there's multiple Axls.
Yeah, so then you got Axl walking in his kilt, which was like a big thing, kilt and bandana, and then you got Axl in like ripped jeans, kind of like the ones I wore to the concert.
His concert, yeah.
Without any blood on them, and he's wearing like kind of like a smart red blazer.
Thanks, Jonah. That's a nice way of describing a blazer.
And yeah, and all the different Axls are sort of talking to each other. And then the blazer Axl just flashes a peace sign and walks through a mirror.
Yeah, walks right into a mirror.
Walks in a mirror. But you know, all the whole time, this is interspersed with this footage of them playing on this top of the building, which I actually think is like one of the coolest scenes in music video history. I would say. Yeah, I mean, it's like they're on top of this building. They have like helicopters filming them flying around. They're just kind of like shredding up there. Like, I feel like the lighting, just the angles, like the helicopters, to me, that is like a really cool looking live sequence.
Some might say you didn't need all of this other stuff of...
Yeah, I think that itself would have been a cool video, but I think that like this was the era where like every video had to have some kind of like weird narrative or some kind of story, especially like kind of like a confusing one.
Yes.
And these may be some of the most confusing, but yeah, I don't think you had a lot of just like performance videos. And what's interesting is that when I was in a band much later, The Love Kill, we made a video and we were trying to get it played on Fuse and stuff, and our video was just us playing. I mean, but it was, we shot in California. It was like cool. It was well shot, and Fuse was basically like, we don't show videos that are just performance. Like, you have to have these other elements in it for us to play it. They probably wouldn't have played it anyways, but I think that, you know, bands didn't do that. I think now you're much more apt to just go on YouTube and watch a performance video of a band actually playing live, but you had to have this other weird stuff in between to make it seem more artistic, I think.
Jonah, I've never seen this video. I'd love to see it. Do you have access to it?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It probably has like 100 views still. So it's been up for like 15 years.
Maybe we'll post it and maybe I'll get a few more views. And then maybe the Love Kill will do a reunion tour and I can roast you guys again.
Maybe. But, you know, then we cut back to this. Axl's talking to a psychologist.
Yes. And his hands are shaking.
He's kind of like freaking out. And then he's underground, sort of like in some sort of cemetery.
Yes.
I guess you were supposed to, you know, and there's like a funeral for him and hearses. And I guess.
Yeah, there's the funerals.
What's dying here? Like, is it his, ego? Is it himself? Is it another? Is it one of the other Axels from the hospital? What version of him is suffering here?
Well, you see Stephanie Seymour. She looks sad. And then you see him and he's, and then you see everyone's at a funeral and he walks, and then Axel walks over to his own grave, which says his name and says 1962 to 1990.
Yep.
And then, so 28. I mean,
and then a dove flies up.
So much success by 28. Actually, 28 is how old I was when I got on SNL.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't have like a whole album. I mean, some might say I had a whole album of impressions and characters. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, I don't think it's really a contest.
So, anyways, then his hands are shaking and there's like a bird.
I think it's a dove.
A dove, right, right. Well, Joan, I think they're one and the same, but
doves are a bird, yeah.
But you're specifying what kind of bird, yes. And that sort of flies up.
And that's it.
There's a baby. Oh, at the beginning and the end, it's like you're going into a baby's eyes and then coming back out to the baby. And then it says, and I'm learning Axel's handwriting on the screen, "There's a lot going on," in quotes. And then it says, "P.S. Thanks, Joseph." Do we know who Joseph is?
I don't know. I'm sure we could look into it. I'm not sure who it is. I want to say, too, I did some fact checking. This is actually the version from Usual Illusion 1.
Okay.
This is the original. Yeah. But there's alternate lyrics for 2. But yeah, I mean, the video to me, like I said, the live stuff with the strobe lights and helicopters is really cool. I think as a kid, that was, you know, just really great to see. And yeah, I interviewed Slash for my zine in college and I have a photo of us together. And I don't even know how it happened. Like I was doing this zine. Yeah, I tried to set it up and it worked. And I had this interview with Slash and he was incredibly nice. This was when I was in college, like 20 years ago. And he was like, I was like, "Hey, how's it going?" He's like, "I just woke," it was like at like 3 in the afternoon. He's like, "I just woke up, man, to do this interview." And I was like, "I'm so sorry." He's like, "It's cool." Like, he was so nice. And then like, we talked about, like, Black Death Vodka. He was not in Guns N' Roses at this point. He was touring, I don't know if it was Moss Kennedy or who. But then I went and saw him that night in Cleveland at Peabody's Down Under, or at Peabody's, wherever. It was originally Peabody's Down Under. It had moved to where Rascal House Pizza was. And I saw him play this show, and I have a ton of photos. I was, like, up front, like, and wow. I think they did some GNR songs, and then he sat at this table after the show. And you weren't supposed to take pictures, but I had him sign a Rolling Stone. He was on the cover from 91. And then I like jumped in and took a photo on like a disposable camera with him.
This is the infamous Rolling Stone that you can't find, right?
Yeah, I can't find it. I think it's in our parents' basement somewhere. I have this, it's with this photo. I had it framed with this signed like Slash Rolling Stone cover. And there's no way I would throw it away. I don't know. I've been looking for it for years. Every time we go to my parents' house, I'm like, "I'm going to find this Slash." And then I worked with him one other time kind of later, and always Slash, super friendly, great guy.
So nice, right?
You know, I played a Les Paul my whole life, definitely influenced by him. And just
was he a big proponent of Les Pauls?
Yeah, he sort of made them cool again. Like, you know, they came out in 59, and then I think, you know, in the 60s, 70s, they were not really perceived as cool guitars. And then I think when Guns N' Roses got big, he kind of brought them back into fashion. They became much more desirable, expensive. They're very heavy guitars.
Okay.
Like weight-wise, they're made out of mahogany, but I think Slash is kind of credited as a person that made them kind of cool again.
Okay, very cool.
And he has a lot of signature Les Pauls. I like will go online and look at them and like pretend I'm going to buy them and like...
Right.
But I haven't, yeah.
There's a lot of Jonah artwork around our parents' house that has Les Pauls in it, that say Les Paul on them.
I drew a lot of Les Pauls in high school in notebooks when I probably should have been listening to what the teacher was saying.
Well, look where it got you. Now you're a cool music/therapy dude.
True. So true.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to talk about November Rain.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets.
if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
All right. I've been listening to the Matthew McConaughey audiobook. And
Jonah,
my wife, Vicky, has been a very good sport about it. But I keep playing her the part where he talks about coming up with that line in Days of Confusion. And then I keep doing the impression of it multiple times a day.
When we were home for Thanksgiving, I got to see Jonah and Vicky and obviously our parents. And two things that Jonah's really into these days are doing a Matthew McConaughey impression and also into into calling people Karens, which which I think is funny, but it's like it isn't quite as popular as it once was, and it isn't something Jonas just loves, you know, taking down Karens.
I just think it's a funny phrase, and it's nothing personal. Like we have friends named Karen, and it's nothing personal, but I do think it's so funny. Like, because I'll like look online, there'll be like t-shirts that say like, "Don't make me go full Karen."
We had to explain to our parents what Karens were over Thanksgiving, and they it took them a second, and then we said, "I think we a male Karen is a Chad or a Ken."
Right. But it doesn't feel like that's been...
No, I don't think it's been picked up quite by the by society in the way that Karen has. Okay, so really watching November Rain again today, I realized a clear cameo of our cousin Ricky Rackman in that video.
Oh, yeah. You just realized that? I've known that since the day that video came out.
I don't
think
he's
got like a full second of him, like just on his face.
Full second of Ricky Rackman, our cousin.
Yeah.
But let's start with the beginning. Okay. And also, I will say, I think November Rain is one of the best. Now, I'm not as knowledgeable about Guns N' Roses as you are, but I think it's one of the best songs by Guns N' Roses. Would you agree?
I mean, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think as far as like the ballads, definitely. I think it's up there. I think I like some of kind of like the heavier stuff. November Rain's a little more kind of orchestral.
Right.
But I do think like from like a song writing and like arrangement and instrumentation perspective, definitely. Yes.
Well, you know, you were referencing this. Did we go see them once or twice? We definitely saw them once in, I'm going to call it 2010 or something.
Maybe 2010. I saw them twice during the weird period. Like I saw them with Buckethead once.
Right.
Both times were in Cleveland. And then with you one time, we got free tickets.
Yeah, how did we get free tickets through AP Magazine, I think, or something?
I don't remember. We had free tickets and we ended up at the show. And it was kind of an infamous Guns N' Roses show because they played with this band, Eagles of Death Metal.
Yes.
And Eagles of Death Metal only played one show with Guns N' Roses. And then Guns N' Roses kicked them off the tour because like, I think Eagles of Death Metal made fun of them or they didn't get along. But the Cleveland show was the only show that they played on that tour.
And then we found out later that you were telling me, I think you write an article or something about it, where Eagles of Death Metal got paid up front because they knew kind of how mercurial Axl was and that they might get fired right
away.
Yeah.
So they were like, people were like, oh, like Guns N' Roses got you guys for kicking off the tour. And they're like, yeah, we got paid for the whole tour.
And we don't have to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, they're probably not getting paid that much compared to Guns N' Roses. But still, I mean, like, there's probably no loss to them.
I think what happened, and I've been this person before. I think what happened was it was Guns N' Roses, and then are they called Suicide Girls?
Yeah.
Okay. Suicide Girls performed, and then Eagles of Death Metal. And I think by that time, people were really ready to see Guns N' Roses.
I think that Sebastian Bach also performed.
Oh, I think you're right.
I think he might have performed at the very, like, first maybe or something, and then come out during the show. I think Sebastian Bach was also there, who, by the way, I interviewed Sebastian Bach over the phone many years ago. He was staying at a hotel. He was using a fake name, which is the only time I've ever interviewed someone who has a fake. I had to like call the front desk and ask for someone else.
That's really funny.
I don't remember the name, which is like such like a like 80s like rock star thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I completely offended him.
You did?
Because I said, yeah, because he was, Skid Row was touring and he was touring. Sebastian Bach has had this big falling out with them. So they tour separately. And I was like, don't you think it's like, do you think it's weird that like you're on tour playing these songs and
these Skid Row songs.
Also on tour playing these Skid Row songs, like you're both playing the same song separately? And he was like, no, I don't think it's weird. Would you ask Paul McCartney if he thinks it's weird that he goes on tour and plays Beatles songs? But I think, you know, like Ringo Starr goes on tour and plays Beatles songs. Like, I actually think that like he had like a pretty good point. It's like, well, what songs am I supposed to play?
Right.
And like, it's not, you know, it doesn't matter who wrote the songs. Like, these are, you know, I think he actually had a good point, but I also was sort of like, didn't really get it. I was like, okay. Like, that was also that age. Like, I was like in my early 20s. I would just ask people anything during interviews and like not have any kind of like, if people were mad, I'd be like, okay, whatever. Like, next question.
Yes. Yes. Which is why a lot of times when I go to colleges and perform, I don't let the kids interview me because they ask such offensive stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The but stuff I'm happy I'm happy to say hello.
Sure,
but like,
sure.
When I
read my old interviews, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I asked this. I can't believe I asked this.
It's an age when you're not scared to get the real dirt. Okay. So November Rain, the video. The other thing about that concert that we went to, remember we tried to meet Guns N' Roses backstage?
Yeah, we tried to meet them. We were somehow we got, it might have actually been.
We got backstage.
Yeah. It might actually have been Okay Pants, who just recently redesigned our logo.
Oh. I think
he might have actually been the person we ran into and he got us backstage. I don't know how, but he seems like the kind of person that know how to do. So we were backstage and it was like at like Gund Arena or CSC. It was in some arena and we were waiting by this area and we were waiting and there's Guns N' Roses, so it takes forever. And we wanted them just to walk past us.
Yes.
We were like, okay, we're going to post up in this.
Because we saw some of the women from Suicide Girls and we were like, okay, we're in the area where this stuff happens.
So we're posted up and we wanted just to be like, okay, Axl is gonna like walk past us. At this point, like I think literally it's like Axl and like Dizzy Reed were the only original members of the band. There was like, you know, it was like I said, I can't remember if it was Bucket, because I saw them twice during this era. But yeah, so we're waiting, the lights go down, we're like, okay. And then right before the band comes out, they're like, okay, everyone has to leave this area.
Yeah.
And we basically all got kicked out.
It was really funny because there were only a few of us, so we were like, okay, we're really in. Now, can I ask you, and then I promise we'll get to November Rain, really quickly, what's the deal with Buckethead? Because he wears a bucket on his head and then his hair comes out of the top. What's going on there? Can he see? Can he breathe?
Yeah. He was in the band briefly. You know, he's kind of a guitar virtuoso. I actually have gotten into Buckethead's music recently. Mm-hmm. And by recently, the last couple of years, I've gotten into some jams such as Welcome to Buckethead Land. Okay. He's an incredible guitar player. I think he was not the best fit for Guns N' Roses.
I remember not being a musician myself and not being as discerning as you, not feeling like it was not Slash level of guitar playing, but it's probably what you're saying is it just wasn't the right fit.
Yeah, technically, I think he's probably one of the better guitar. I don't know if you remember, there was a moment at the concert where Axl said, Buckethead is going to express himself, and then Buckethead did a nunchuck solo.
No,
Do you remember that? Yes, this definitely happened.
What do you mean he did a nunchuck solo?
Axl said, Buckethead is going to express himself, and then Buckethead pulled out some nunchucks and just started doing this like weird dance and like throwing these like nunchucks around.
I can't believe I don't remember this.
But I feel like I've looked it up before and it's happened. I'm sure you're right.
I
remember this happening.
I guess what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, I go, for someone who's so good at guitar, he sure does have a lot of kind of flashy things he does, like wearing a bucket over his head. you know, as opposed to just letting the music speak for itself, I guess. I also truly worry about his health, like being in a crowded, hot venue and wearing a bucket over your head. How does he breathe, et cetera?
Yeah, I don't know. He's got it dialed in. I mean, he's Buckethead. I don't know. He's a really great guitar player. Yeah. But I think again, like that was kind of a weird era of the band.
Yeah. But Buckethead's still
doing stuff. I mean, they had Paul Westerberg from The Replacements on bass. I mean, it was a cool band. It was just
not the original.
Not really like the Guns N' Roses. I think I haven't seen them on this like not in this lifetime like this Duff and Slash and Axl version, but I would imagine that's a little more similar to the videos we're discussing. Which, speaking of which,
okay,
let's get into the November Rain video. Do you want to kick it off?
So the beginning of November Rain, same font, which is Axl's handwriting. It says November Rain, and then you see Axl. He's in this room. He's like he's in bed. He's taking some pills. Then they're in like a big concert hall, which I think this is also like you were saying. From Don't Cry, the big shots of them playing the music. Like, I think this concert hall is really cool. They're in this huge concert hall and Axl's playing piano. And I want to say this too. I've maybe seen Guns N' Roses twice with you because I feel like the thing I remember from both times, or at least the one time we were there, is that you always know when November Rain is going to be played because he goes and sits at a piano, Axl does. And it's so cool because you're like, oh, he really is an incredible piano player.
And so they did that at the VMAs famously with Elton John. Remember they sat back to back on their front. They had those pianos like facing each other.
Yes.
I remember being at one of the shows, Mixmaster Mike opened that I went to. And I remember being in line for concessions and this guy saying to me or to someone like, man, I really wish Saliva was opening the show. And me being like, I don't wish Saliva was opening the show.
Was Saliva a band?
Saliva was like a 90s, like kind of alt rock, kind of like, yeah. They were Saliva was a band that did not make very good music.
Okay, so Axl's in bed taking pills and cut to, they're at this big concert hall, Axl's playing piano. Then you see him kind of sleeping again in his room and he's having kind of a hard time falling asleep. Now cut to a wedding that I'll never forget. Stephanie Seymour, again, I just find her to be such... I mean, obviously she was a supermodel. A lot of people find her to be so beautiful, but I will not, she's wearing a wedding dress that has what we would call today a high-low hem, meaning the hem in the back is a lot longer than in the front. Usually dresses with a high-low hem are not so high in the front, but she has like thigh highs on or something that are white and her dress is like kind of, it's sort of like short in the front and long in the back. I remember seeing this dress and being like, again, something I'll wear to my wedding. Like, I'm like, okay, I've got a wedding dress. I've got outfits to wear to my legal.
So
my
wait, let me ask you this. Like, did you think people bought clothes like 30 years in advance? Like, just if they saw a good deal or something they really liked, they're like, well, I can't wear this till I'm adult, but this will probably be my size in 20 years.
I remember just being like, this is a great wedding dress and I'm just going to keep this. As you do, I'm just going to keep it in the back of my head as something when I do get married in 20 years or 30 years or who knows, 40 years maybe from then, I will wear, this is like a great option for me. Again, not thinking about the fact that she's a supermodel, it might be hard for a woman, for most people in general to wear a dress that's so short in the front. But to me, it was just, I love the style of it. And again, she looks beautiful. And I thought, this is kind of how I want to look. I think what I'm realizing as I talk to you, based on Stephanie Seymour's look at her November Rain wedding and based on all the outfits that she wore, again, not the underwear, the outfits she wore in the Victoria's Secret catalog, that I was like, oh, this is kind of who I want to model myself after as an adult. And Jonah, I think I've done a pretty good job. Okay. But I remember she's wearing this wedding dress with a high, low hem. And you go, just gorgeous couple. I don't know who has better hair, if I'm being honest, because Axel's got that really gorgeous red hair. But yeah, so Axl and Stephanie Seymour, a gorgeous couple. One's gorgeous hair, more gorgeous than the next. They're getting married. One of them, Duff, they're like, when they do the ring ceremony, it's like Duff has gloves on. I think it's Duff.
Yeah.
It's one of the blonde ones, has gloves on, and on his pinky finger is one of the rings. So they get one of the rings from the gloves. And then the other one, the other ring Slash just walks up and gives them the other ring, and then he kind of leaves.
Right.
Just in the middle of nothing, he leaves. They're going on with the ceremony. Meanwhile, cut to Axel's outside in kind of like a desert in front of a really small chapel that's not the chapel.
I think you mean Slash again.
I'm so sorry. Cut to Slash is outside on kind of a desert, desolate area that just has this one small chapel on it that he's playing in front of. That's clearly not the chapel where the wedding of Axel and Stephanie Seymour is happening. He just happens to be in front of this chapel, just really jamming out.
Yeah. And so I would recommend, you know, I do listen to this fan podcast about Guns N' Roses. I mentioned earlier, and they do an episode with the director. And to me, it's like so interesting because, yeah, Slash is ripping this guitar solo in this desert in front of this tiny church. You know, obviously the guitar is, you know, they're not even pretending to plug this guitar in.
Yeah.
And, but you know, this is way pre-drone. Like they're using, I don't know if they're using like a helicopter or like a plane, yeah. But these shots are like very cinematic, like not easy to do, not like some... Today kids are like, I'll just get this drone shot with my, you know, my new drone. I'll get a shot of my friend playing guitar.
Right.
But this day,
must be nice.
But yeah, they had to get planes, helicopters. They had to fly them out. I remember listening to this podcast. They had to take them out to this like very remote location. You know, they have to get all the equipment out there. And so Slash does this guitar solo, which is like probably one of the coolest guitar solo scenes ever. And then, and keep in mind, in between all this, Guns N' Roses is playing the song live at like some kind of like Royal Albert Hall or some kind of like
concert,
orchestral, very elaborate, you know, backup singers, all
beautiful.
This stuff.
Oh, the other thing that I wanted to mention was Axel's suit for the wedding is sort of Shakespearean. He has sort of a medieval looking velvet kind of suit on that I thought that's definitely a choice.
Yes. And then, of course, we go to the actual wedding.
The reception afterwards.
Yeah. So they're cutting the cake here.
We see a big shot of guess who?
So Ricky Rackman is at the show, is at the wedding. He's smiling, which,
he's,
you know,
our cousin Ricky Rackman's, yeah, he's having a great time. He's like, I'm at an awesome wedding.
Yeah, I'm with my buds.
Yeah.
Everyone's here. It's kind of a video shoot, but it's also like kind of like a wedding for my friend, even though
probably he got to actually have a great time while they were filming the video because there was probably cake and stuff to eat.
Yeah, so that would be, you know, as someone in the biz, I guess this is like kind of like this would be like the kind of scene like you would want to do probably because you're like, oh, I get to, especially if it was like a friend's project. You're like, oh, I'll know a bunch of people there. There's going to be food. I get to pretend I'm at a wedding.
Yeah. I would think that would be fun. And I bet they gave them real, like, I wonder if they gave them, given the time, like it being the early 90s, I wonder if they gave them actual champagne to drink.
And we talked to Ricky about this on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
I don't remember either. But we should go back. If you want to hear it, go back and listen to that episode.
Go back and listen. You can find out what it was really like. I wish I'd watched that video again right before we interviewed him, but I'm sure we could have him back because guess why? He's our cousin. But anyways, then the weather shifts and guess what happens? Guess what starts happening with the weather?
A little November rain, my friend.
Starts to rain, yep.
And so it starts raining. Everyone starts freaking out.
Everyone's hiding from the rain. I feel like Slash or Duff goes under one of the tables.
Yeah, and then, you know, famously, someone jumps through the cake. This has been, you know, we talked about this with Ricky. It was not him. We actually talked about this on the Ben Gibbard episode of this podcast with Ben.
Right.
Ben was speculating who it was.
Did Ricky Ben think it was our cousin Ricky?
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was him because the person has black long hair. But it's not. We don't know who it is. We'll probably never know.
Honestly, watching it again and knowing that our cousin Ricky Rackman had said it was not him, I was like, oh, that doesn't even, his facially doesn't look like him.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, definitely not him. And then.
Cut to dramatic shot.
We're at a funeral and everyone's crying. And then
Stephanie Seymour is in a coffin. And you go, wait, what?
Yep.
Also looks very beautiful, but in a coffin.
Yep, it's raining. Axel's looking very despondent. And then it cuts to the casket and there's red roses on it. And then they turn white.
Okay, I just want to, before we get there, So everyone's sort of freaking out. Stephanie Seymour dead in a casket, although she looks beautiful in the casket. I know I keep saying that. It's like, we get it, Vanessa. I guess the reason I keep saying it is because I have, I guess, more or less modeled my adulthood after her. And I think that I've done a good job. So in some ways I'm complimenting myself. Okay. So she's in a coffin. Then there's this whole funeral inside the church for her. Then there's an outdoor burial they all go to. It's very windy and rainy at the funeral. Then you see like a flashback of her throwing her wedding flowers and they land on this grave, which ends up being the grave that she's, or they land on this coffin, which ends up being the coffin that she's in.
Right.
All of a sudden, Axel is back in the bedroom he was in at the beginning. He wakes up, he's like sweating. Then you see him go to the coffin and he's standing over it and it has these pink flowers she had thrown and you watch them as they turn white.
Yep. And we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the final video in the Guns N' Roses trilogy.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And we're back. Now, I just want to say there's more Axel handwriting at the end of November Rain, which is, it says, based on the short film Without You by Dell something. I couldn't read it because my YouTube.
Yeah, that was his friend who, yeah, that was his songwriting friend.
Okay. Now, the third video and the third song I was way, way, way less familiar with, although I lightly knew the song because I remember you singing it a little bit when we were kids.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this was a huge song, but maybe not as big as November Rain. But yeah, this is like a set. This is like a staple Guns N' Roses. You're not going to see them live without playing this song. Forget about it.
Because he likes to go alone.
Yeah.
That was an impression that I did.
So he's wearing a Charles Manson shirt in this video. This was like a really famous shirt he wore during this era they sold. It said, Charlie, don't surf. And it had Charles Manson on the cover. And I don't know exactly what the relationship is there. But yeah, he's wearing this right. Manson shirt the whole time.
Yes.
It opens with this kind of like very dramatic, like all these cops, SWAT team,
yes. You
know, raiding this house, flashlights, guns, everything. And then it cuts to, yeah, Axel and the band on the Illusion tour. So this is a little later. You know, I'm guessing the albums are out at this point. Maybe this is 1993.
Yeah.
So, and it's them playing these huge...
Axel's in the house they run into, by the way, and he's wearing very ripped jeans, like the ones you wore to the concert.
Yeah, so they're playing like this huge stadium. So there's a lot of live footage.
Yeah, cuts to more live footage in a huge stadium. Big venue, I wrote.
Very big venue. And then there's some kind of like real tour stuff and then kind of like this hyper realistic stuff where Axel's like kind of like you can see through him and he lies down in the shower and it's like I don't know how to really describe it.
He becomes sort of a ghost and he's walking around. And it's interesting because you see these people backstage watching them on the monitors play at the live venue. And then at some point, you cut to Axel is walking on top of this big boat. He's like walking around this big boat and he decides to jump in to the water. And then someone in the band throws him a lifesaver thing and he throws it back at them. And then someone else in the band is in like a little boat with like paddles trying to save him. And he's like, doesn't want to be saved, Axel.
Yeah.
Then he goes under the water and big theme of this video, who does he come across? A bunch of dolphins. Okay. Yeah,
and so this is really the part of the video that really most people remember is the dolphin because it's so
iconic.
So iconic, so kind of absurd. Mm-hmm. Like so and I think this is the part, this is really like the part of this trilogy that I think is probably most memorable to people is like him going under and this dolphin basically.
Three dolphins
and we found this article about it. Where the director, he talks about the dolphins. He says Axel had split up with Stephanie Seymour and he was like, I don't want any more beautiful girls in my video. I'd rather have a dolphin. We knew we were deliberately doing that. So people would go, what's that all about? There was a sense that it was throwing a lot more questions and answers and that suited everybody. It created a myth and intrigue around the whole trilogy. And so that's from, that's from an interview the director Andy Morahan did with Kerrang. So it looks like it maybe has some deep symbolic meaning, but I also feel like it could also just be Axel being like, a dolphin would be cool.
He's like coming out of some kind of facility and there's white cars and one of the cars has like a silver dolphin on it. And then you see he's like in a plane or something and then the plane opens and there's a dolphin swimming it. Like a lot of the dolphin imagery doesn't totally make sense because you're like, how would a dolphin be coming out of this airplane? And then there's, the dolphins that kind of save Axel from the water. And then iconic shot that I kind of remembered is Slash coming up from the water doing an awesome guitar riff and then kind of floating on the water as he plays guitar.
Yeah, so he's kind of levitating on the water. And if you do some more research into this video cost $4 million to make.
Okay, that tracks.
Which is a lot of money in 1993. I don't know how much that would be.
They were saying it was like $7 million for all three videos, which would have been the equivalent of like $12.5 million today.
Yeah.
And that Pulp Fiction costs like $8.5 million to make. So just to give you a sense.
And I think this one was the most expensive, even though November Rain is like a super long song.
Right.
It doesn't have any dolphins.
Some might say a more... Well, whatever. It's all subjective.
It's okay. You can like November Rain better. I mean, I don't, all these songs actually, I mean, I would say if I had to listen to, I think all these songs are classic. I think Don't Cry is actually a pretty killer song that maybe wasn't, probably I would say was maybe the least successful song and maybe not the best video of these three, but I think it actually holds up as like a pretty good song.
I think Don't Cry is... I know Don't Cry in November Rain much better than I know this song is strange. But the other thing that I want to say about this video is there's a lot of word definition in here. So like at the beginning, it shows the word illusion and it shows like the definition. So obviously it was off the Use Your Illusion album. And then later in the video, they show the word estranged and they show two like dictionary definitions for that. And then at the end, they show the word disillusion and show two definitions. And then at the very end of the video, obviously the dolphins, Axel had been playing Slash had been playing in front of these clubs called Rainbow Bar and Grill, Roxy. He'd been playing in front of these clubs throughout the video. And then at the end, he's playing, he comes out of the water and is playing guitar on the water. And then the dolphins rescue Axel from the water. the Coast Guard comes and kind of saves him. He's decided, I think Axel's decided, okay, now that the dolphins have saved me, I'm agreeing to it. I'll be saved. Then you see the definitions for the word disillusion. And then you get another sign off by Axel that says, use your illusion, love Axel and GNR. And he's in a room where he's like with a dolphin, realistically sized dolphin in sort of a green room.
Yeah. Cut. End scene. And so, yeah. And we should also mention that you also get a shot of the Axl Rose signature red and white Converse shoes.
Yes. The Converse shoe goes to the bottom of the water. One of the Converse shoes, which is weird, you know?
But probably one of the least weird things to happen, I would say.
Yes, I think that's fair. I think a shoe going to the bottom of the water, way less weird than dolphin saving Axel or / coming out of the water playing
guitar.
Pretty
sure that's just called gravity.
But that's just called
gravity. Is that gravity,
gravity
or that's like called the current? Or like current. What's gravity in water? Who knows? No one knows. Anyways, yeah, I mean, I think these videos, you know, I don't know how they fit together. I think probably no one knows, even Axel, but I do think they're really interesting to watch now. I think there is some connection, but I think, like I said, I think it's more the budget, the access, and the fact they're all from the same, you know, albums.
I have to say, watching these videos again, I had the time of my life. I truly was like really enjoying them. I was watching them like a movie, and it is really fun to watch them because they are very cinematic. And to your point, Jonah, they didn't have all of the tools that they have today to film them, but they were just really well shot. And
I would say, you know, the only thing probably more exciting than rewatching these videos is people listening to this podcast, listening to two people describe every scene in the videos and then be like, I'm not sure if I'm right about this thing, and then making stuff up.
It is fun to relive them because, you know, I think we're going to do more of these episodes if people like these. And there's so many little things that happen in all these videos that you just really remember. And it's fun to talk about them because they are really bizarre. I mean, that's the thing is, music videos, I think because they're so short and because it's musicians making them, they have a lot of free range to kind of have them not necessarily make sense and sort of be edited weirdly. And I know we had a whole list of other videos that we would have talked about today if we had time, but I think this is a really good trio for us to start this journey with because they're such incredible videos, such an incredible band, and Little Jonah's favorite band
of all time.
And Big Jonah.
I wish I'd seen them on this tour. I thought about seeing them, and I got to do it. But you know,
you mean a current tour?
They've done a couple tours, reunited with Slash and Duff, over the last 5 years or so. You know, if you're interested in watching these videos, the links to them are going to be in the show notes for this episode. If you want to kind of maybe watch them before the podcast, then watch them again after. Maybe you learn something.
The only problem is we're saying this at the end of the podcast, so people will have heard it already.
But, you know, watch them now, then re-listen to the podcast again, because that'll actually probably help our numbers.
Yes.
So
a double listen.
Yeah. It's sort of like, when you watch a movie and it has like a surprise ending, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to rewatch the movie knowing what I know now.
Exactly. Spoiler alert. But then you have the spoiler and you can go in that much better informed.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes a spoiler helps you just get a new sense of perspective.
And if not, you can use your illusion to figure out the end of it. Well, Jonah, this was so much fun. Thank you to Guns N' Roses for these incredible videos and to YouTube for keeping them in the conscience of society. If you enjoyed that, please like us and, you know, follow us at things. And tell your friends. And we'll be back next week to discuss more cultural touchstones like music videos, specifically the Guns N' Roses trilogy made up of Don't Cry, November Rain, and Estranged.
All right, all right, all right.
Okay, Jonah, you're being a Karen.
dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.